you get any government grants, or are they partners with you in certain things?
We obviously apply for different grants and funding, and we have requests out, whether it's corporately, privately, or to government agencies to receive funding. For instance, the gaming grant is funds that come into our organization where we're able to use those funds through gaming in the province to assist our members and people that ask or require. But for the most part, we are self-funded, and that's even more important. We need to have donations come in from corporations and people. We use every single dollar and stretch it all we can to provide everything, and never saying no to a person who comes to our door. And that is our mandate. Right now, we have the Big 50-50, which is an amazing campaign running through to April 15th. We have partnered with three other organizations, the Fraser Valley Healthcare Foundation, you living in the Fraser Valley. We have Zajac Ranch, which is a ranch with full medical capabilities for children with all types of special needs, so that they have a place to have fun at no cost to parents. And we also have teamed up with Variety, the Children's Charity of British Columbia. Right now, as of today's date, we're over $85,000, and the winner is going to take half. And by April 15th, we hope to be at $2 million because we just launched. A winner will take $1 million, and we will be able to share in the other million to fulfill our mandate at Cerebral Palsy Association of British Columbia.
How much has COVID-19 impacted your fundraising efforts?
You can't have in-person events. All the organizations are seeing that. So we had to pivot. We did an auction online that was very successful with Able Auctions. We have now have the Big 50-50 that we're doing. We are also looking at having a champion circle of donors and friends that can be ambassadors for our organization that we are establishing through Zoom and online meetings. We have had to sort of broadcast from indoors, but we've also found hybrid opportunities to raise funds and to be able to continue our mandate with our board of directors. The Cerebral Palsy Association is all volunteers except for a very small group of people. I think I can count them on my hand, the number of people that actually are there under the leadership of Elizabeth Speck. So they do miracles on a very small budget.
Will you be working with BC government or health professionals to make sure that people with cerebral palsy or other kinds of disabilities are getting vaccines in priority?
Unfortunately, there's not a priority right now. It's strictly by age. But if and when that time comes, we will absolutely do our best to help. First responders have been given vaccines, and those that work with seniors in care homes, et cetera, and seniors now. But if that moves, we've certainly mandated for those people that have immune compromised systems, they should be front of the line and have issues where a vaccine will definitely not only save their life, but help with their quality of life if they do catch COVID.
Do you find one vaccine over the other safer for people living with cerebral palsy, you think?
Absolutely not. And in fact, these vaccines are really 20 years in the making, because you go back to SARS, where this is the same form of virus through the SARS COVID issue that affected Asia and North America, if you remember back east in Toronto, about 20 years ago. So they have had work and studies on that virus for many, many, many years. It's just they rushed to definitively assist with this form of that virus. So when people say it's been a year, actually, it's been 20 years, but with a year focused on this exact mutation. So I would support everyone to receive their vaccines.
Before the pandemic, you know, what kind of general services were you most popular in serving the people with cerebral palsy?
Well, we are an information hub. We can provide opportunities for those that need assistance in different areas, whether we do it ourselves, or whether we have partners or other agencies that we can point them to. For instance, children with special needs with cerebral palsy can go through Variety, which is amazing. They also have opportunities for assistance through BC Children's Hospital and other organizations. Adults living with cerebral palsy, if there are financial issues, we can help point them into the right direction where there's a government aid, whether there's assistance through food banks or other type of agencies that can help people during trying times. Our goal is to provide a lifeline to those people with cerebral palsy to be able to help them. We can't promise miracles on day one, but we will listen to their needs, and we will endeavor to do whatever we can to assist them and get them out of whatever unfortunate circumstance life has given them at that moment.
One of the greatest challenges that people face that are able to get out in society that have cerebral palsy are the challenges of finding good employment or regular employment. How does your agency work with people living with cerebral palsy to make sure they are taken seriously?
The provincial government has a back to work employment program they're launching soon and will be focused to everyone, but especially those that have been marginalized through COVID. So we are actively coordinating with government and with other agencies to provide, whether it's everything from helping to rebuild a resume, finding someone's skills and putting that out there in a forum to let people know. Again, as we started with expecting competence, so many people with cerebral palsy have so many amazing gifts that they can give back that employers would be thrilled to have them as part of their team. And we need to share that message with people. And the proof is in the pudding. Look at yourself. Look at Marco Pasqua. These are people that are leaders. Marco's probably, 15, 20 years younger than you. And there's someone who's on an amazing trajectory that has not been stopped or silenced by COVID. In fact, works with the Rick Hansen Foundation on mobility issues, et cetera. Being able to share messages of hope and inspiration and celebrating, triumphs of people that may have had unsurmountable challenges. That's what's so important for us at Cerebral Palsy Association.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's coming up for the foundation and if there's any like future goals or programming that people can look forward to from you that doesn't exist yet?
Yeah, I would ask everyone to please go onto our website and take a look. And in fact, it's bccerebralpalsy.com. There's a number of stuff. Right now, we're doing an awareness project on Vancouver Island, which is amazing. We've teamed up there and are helping people with cerebral palsy and those that want to find out more about what we do and how it affects people across the island. We're really excited about that. We launched Marco Pasqua, as I mentioned, on Monday as our provincial spokesperson. The big 50-50 lottery is huge for us. When you go online, you'll see our calendar where we have so many different activities. Our programs include adaptive yoga, movement therapy sessions, dance without limits, so many unique things. And then, of course, we have over 5,000 people who are subscribed to our content in the disability community, and people have a chance there. And you were talking about financial resources. We have equipment subsidies and so many other opportunities. So for us, what's important is awareness of cerebral palsy and our association and what we do. Number two is funding. We can't do it without the support of corporations and citizens across British Columbia and Canada, because we are not government funded that people would think. When you see someone that has a wheelchair or that has walking aids or other type of apparatus, you would assume that, oh, well, you went to the hospital, you were diagnosed, you got that equipment, and it's given to you just like you would see a doctor for free for a visit under a health plan in the province. That's not the case. Equipment is not funded. So we step in where healthcare ends, and that's critical to let people know that when someone needs equipment, we will do our best to get that for them. And a lot of it, as you know, requires fitting, and people grow out of things and they have to be refit and retooled. And that is really critical, but we cannot do that without donations.